souls in purgatory and also reflecting upon purgatory. And so I think that November is a good time of the year for us to have a series of sermons on the four last things. The Book of Wisdom in the Old Testament says, "Remember, man, your last end, and you will never sin." And indeed, it is true that it is only when we are unmindful of our end that we fall into sin. So let us today reflect upon death, and then in the subsequent Sundays on the other of the four last things. First of all, what is death? Death is defined as the separation of the soul from the body. When our soul departs from the body, that is when death will take place. And we often look upon death, as it truly is, as the termination, as the end of life in this world. And indeed it is. But we should also, and perhaps even more so, look upon death as not an end, but a beginning of the next life, a beginning of our life in eternity, our life after life in this world. And looked upon in that way, death is not so something that is not so frightening, not so disagreeable. Because if we wish to be with God in heaven for all eternity, we cannot enter into heaven unless we first exit this world. So a Catholic view of death is not that it is the end of all, but rather the beginning of that true life for which we were created. And that reminds me of the words in the preface of the Mass, the Requiem Mass, which puts it so well. And it points out that death, that life is not ended with death, is not ended, but it is changed into a different type of life, a better life, an everlasting life. A good Catholic prepares every day for his death. Our Lord says, "You know not when the Son of Man will come," when he will come for each of us individually. And since we know not when our Lord will come to for us, we ought to be always ready. And how do we prepare? How do we be always ready? Well, first of all, by our daily examination of conscience. In our night prayers, before we retire every day, we should examine ourselves over the past day and make a good act of contrition. And that daily examination of conscience prepares us for the time of death. Indeed, there is a very different outlook, a different attitude from a fervent Christian, a good Catholic, as compared to one who is lax, one who is complacent. The good Christian, first of all, is detached from the things of this world. He knows that God gave us the material things, the things we enjoy in this life, to make our life pleasant, but more than anything, to help us to get to heaven, to take care of our material needs in this world, so that the soul can concentrate on preparing for eternity. The lax Christian, on the other hand, is very attached to the things of this world and is afraid to leave them, does not want to leave the things that he loves. A good Christian is faithful to a daily prayer life, and it is these prayers that keep him in a state of readiness. He loves God, and he often speaks to God in prayer. The lax Christian, on the other hand, is haphazard in his prayer life. He prays only when he thinks about it, when he feels like praying, or especially, as is the case, sadly, with so many people who only pray when they are down and out, when they are in great need of God's help for whatever reason it may be. But a good Christian has a routine, a regular daily prayer life. Also, a good Christian receives the sacraments frequently, makes good confessions, fervent holy communions. A lax Christian, on the other hand, goes to confession only rarely, and even then, the validity of those confessions is often in great doubt, because the lax Christian is not conscientious in his self-accusation. A good Christian prepares for confession in that daily examination of conscience that we spoke of. And that prepares him for his confessions, and his confessions are devout. They are humble. They are thorough. And they are heartfelt. A good Christian is engaged in good works. Not only takes care of his own needs and those of his family, but also is mindful of others, practices charity, gives of his time for God's honor and glory, and again, the needs of his fellow man. The lax Christian is self-centered, selfish, and therefore comes to the end of his life and has very little to show in the way of good works and merit gained by helping others. So these thoughts, and I'm sure that many others could be added to them, help us to realize the importance of living in preparation for death. Sometimes you will see a holy picture, a holy card, an image of a saint, and the saint may be standing in front of a table, and on the table there might be a couple books, and then there is a skull. And what does that mean? Does that mean that the saints all had skulls in their rooms? No. It means that that saint was known for his reflection upon death. And indeed, all of the saints were mindful of their end. And that is one of the things that helped them to become saints. The reality of death and frequent reflection upon death. In speaking about death, let us take a moment to reflect upon sudden death. Because there are two types of death, we might say. There is that death that is anticipated, and then there is that death that is totally unexpected, that is sudden. And for a good Catholic who is always ready to be called by God to leave this world, a sudden death, the prospect of a sudden death, is not intimidating. But to one who is not prepared, it is a frightening thought. And so that brings us to the prayer of Holy Mother Church, where we pray, from a sudden and unprovided death, deliver us, O Lord. In other words, a sudden death is not so much something to be dreaded, but it is that unprovided death, whether sudden or a death after an illness. That is one especially to be dreaded. Speaking of an illness, let us reflect upon the fact that a death that is preceded by pain, by illness of a shorter or longer period, and for some people for many years of their lives, some sort of debilitating illness that perhaps is painful, perhaps not, but even if not painful, is uncomfortable, prevents that person from enjoying life in this world to the degree that others do. Let us remember to look upon these adversities, these pains, these illnesses, as blessings of Almighty God, who loves us and who arranges all things for the salvation of souls. And we must remember the fact that God in His goodness allows us to expiate our purgatory time in this world. If your death is preceded by an illness, perhaps that is God's way of giving you an opportunity to wipe out your purgatory time here in this world, that you will not have to do so in the next life. So God is very good, and He knows what He is doing. And we ought to trust in God's providence and the things that He sends us, both sweet and bitter, that these are for a reason. And they are a reason of God's loving providence. Really, our whole life should be a preparation for death. Every cross we suffer, every adversity, if borne properly, helps to prepare us for that time, for that moment. I'm reminded of the story in the life of a saint who is, feast comes at the end of this month, in a few weeks, November 26th, St. Sylvester the Abbot. And we are told in the life of this saint that as a young man, he went to the funeral of one of his own relatives who died young. And the young man who died was seemingly in the bloom of health, was wealthy, had a lot of friends, had it all, and yet was taken out of life unexpectedly at a young age. And so Sylvester was standing in front of the coffin and looked down upon the body of the young man that died. And he imagined the corpse speaking to him and saying to him, "I once was what you are, and you will one day be what I am." And that thought so struck him that he one day would be like the young man who died. He would leave this world. That thought had such a profound effect upon him that he did leave the world and he founded a monastery and, of course, became a saint. And so the thought of death can do the same thing for us. It can help us to sanctify ourselves and, of course, above all, to be always ready for that time because we know not when it will come. There is a wonderful practice. And as a matter of fact, it is such a wonderful practice that Pope St. Pius X granted a plenary indulgence applicable at the moment of death for those who do this. And that is the act of resignation, to say to God, "Dear God, I accept whatever death you have designed for me, whenever it may come, and whatever the circumstances may be, wherever it takes place, in advance, I accept it with all of those particulars." That is an act very pleasing to Almighty God, very pleasing to God, and very sanctifying for the soul. And that is something that we should do often. It would be helpful to do it even every day in our, perhaps in our morning prayers, to say, "Dear God, I accept whatever death you have destined for me, with all of the circumstances that will accompany it." That is an act of trust in God, an act of resignation, and very meritorious. I would like to conclude with some words from The Imitation of Christ, which has a wonderful chapter on death, reminding us of the importance of reflection upon death. And the author says this, "Do now, my beloved, all that you can, because you know not when you shall die, nor do you know what shall befall you after death. While you have time, heap to yourselves riches that will never die. Think of nothing but of your salvation. Care for nothing but the things of God. Make now to yourself friends by honoring the saints of God and imitating their actions, that when you fail in this life, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Keep yourself as a pilgrim and a stranger upon this earth, to whom the affairs of the world do not in the least belong. Keep your heart free and raised upwards to God, because you have not here a lasting abode. Send thither your daily prayers with sighs and tears, that after death your spirit may be worthy to pass happily to our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."